Before we wrap, we have a time capsule moment that's a little humbling. Back on May 18th, we reported, and I'm quoting here, "Ukraine hit its fourth Russian ship in the Caspian Sea this month, suggesting Kyiv's long-range strike capabilities are proving more effective than Moscow anticipated." And then we followed that up with something about unexpected competition. Our listeners who know their geography are already cringing, and they should be. The Caspian Sea is landlocked, roughly 1,500 kilometers from Ukraine's controlled territory. Ukraine does not operate naval forces there. We apparently read something that was fabricated or wildly misattributed and reported it without adequate verification. There's no graceful way to present that except to own it directly. We got it wrong, we should have caught it, and we didn't. The lesson is the same one that applies to any information source. Geography checks are not optional.
Appreciated, Sarah, and we'll keep doing those. The discomfort of being wrong publicly is a feature, not a bug. Now, zooming out on today's episode, we covered a lot of technical ground, but there are a few threads that run through almost everything we discussed. The first is dependency risk. The cursor situation, the API access revocation, the appeal of open-weight models, the preference for local tools like Steam Deck, these all reflect a community that is increasingly aware that building on a single provider's closed infrastructure is a strategic liability.
The second thread is the compression of the attack surface in security. The time between a vulnerability being hinted at and an exploit appearing in the wild is shrinking toward zero. That's not a gradual change. It's a structural shift driven by AI-assisted exploit development that the security community is still working out how to respond to. The Monzo stand-in story is a partial answer for one domain, financial services. But the question of how you build resilient infrastructure when the threats surface is this dynamic is open.
The third thread is the pendulum on complexity. HTMX 4.0, the 12-factor app revision, the keyboard-driven GUI argument, the Python time complexity documentation all pointing people back toward fundamentals, this is a recurring pattern in software history. Complexity accumulates, it creates problems, and then the community gravitates back toward simpler, more legible approaches. We're in one of those gravitational moments.
The lighter stories today deserve a moment too. The Wallsten Steam Locomotive Service in Poland, the last regular standard gauge steam passenger service in Europe, is genuinely worth looking up if you have any affection for mechanical engineering. There's something striking about a technology that's been superseded for decades, still running scheduled service, because the community around it decided it was worth preserving.
The Sumerian King List aligning with paleoclimate events is the kind of interdisciplinary work that makes HN's scope worth appreciating. Someone built an interactive explorer correlating the legendary rain lengths in ancient Sumerian records with paleoclimate proxy data. It probably doesn't prove anything definitively about the historical basis of ancient mythology, but it's a genuinely creative use of publicly available data to probe a very old question.
The Curvature Bezier post from Akko. Net is beautiful if you care about computational geometry. The author extends the standard Bezier curve formulation to incorporate curvature constraints directly, which has applications in typeface design, industrial CAD, and animation. The Inception-style curved map from Orbify. EU belongs in the same aesthetic category. It renders navigation directions using a projection that curves the map to put the current route in constant visual center, which is genuinely disorienting in an interesting way.
The WW2 Soldier's love letter story from Smithsonian Magazine and Queen Caroline's use of King Arthur as royal PR in the 18th century. These are the stories that remind you why the HN community is genuinely broader than its reputation as a purely technical audience. A community of curious people spans more than just programming languages.
Glacier mice, Marcus.
Glacier mice? They're real. They're balls of moss that form on glaciers and somehow coordinate their movement. They all move together, they all rotate, and nobody fully understands the mechanism. If that isn't going on your weekend reading list, I'm not sure what to tell you.
As always, every story we discussed today came directly from the Hacker News community at news.acombinator.com. Each of these stories has comments, some with dozens, some with hundreds, of informed people adding context, corrections, and analysis that we could only gesture toward in an episode. If any story caught your attention, please go read the full thread. The community is what makes this worth doing, and they deserve the traffic and the credit.
A genuine thank you to Claude Code, Anthropic's agentic coding tool, which handles the script generation and production automation that makes a daily show like this operationally possible. It's not a sponsorship. It's just the honest answer to how do you ship this every day. And Perplexity's real-time research capabilities are how we find and vet the stories in the first place. Both tools have become genuinely indispensable.
If today's geopolitical and market angles left you wanting more, our companion show, IntelliJix Daily News, covers world events, financial markets, and international affairs with the same depth. Worth checking out if this format resonates with you. I'm Sarah Chen.
I'm Marcus Rodriguez. We'll see you Monday.